Alcoholic.
I am.
Good evening, everybody. I thought when I drove up, since it was the 4th of July, I'd see Billy, Sam, and Corey said he was coming. So it's a pleasant surprise that more people have showed up, and you still have 4th of July after this, because this is an early meeting. Well, Billy's asked me to do a broad topic, a topic also in which I believe opinions probably will come in some. I've been working with people for a long time. I got sober May 5th, 1987. And I think almost since that summer I started to work with people. I did what AA asked me to do, and I wasn't very good at it, but I stayed sober myself. And I do believe there's a timeline when you come here. This is a program of giving. And a lot of the emotional problems that one might encounter in the first couple years, a lot of it's overcome by giving. We sometimes have been overrun by a psychological approach in Alcoholics Anonymous, in which if I can fix myself and emotionally correct myself and get myself to feel better, then I will be better. And if I can learn how to give here and pitch in and help other people to recover or find service, which is being useful, and stay in that type of frame of mind or attitude, my life gets better despite me. I really do believe AA is a giving program, not just a living program. There's much written in the big book about a relationship with God as helping out other alcoholics. It's almost eyeball to eyeball, it's almost hand in hand. A lot of people also run off on the idea of the God thing, and AA certainly is in the core idea of it, is a power greater than yourself. It's written all over the steps. Same time, I got to learn how to give. It's just not about me becoming spiritual. In fact, there's nothing the big book says I become anything other than physically sober. Trying to get spiritual here, probably barking up the wrong tree, is probably just another form of self-obsession. I found out trying to be useful here is really the bottom line. And by trying to help out people and try to give back to Alcoholics Anonymous, it seems to me that I grow spiritually. And I believe that the book will back me up on that. I believe that the most underused chapter in the big book is the 7th chapter. It outlines exactly and precisely how to help out another alcoholic. And probably 95% of the people I see working with others violate half the chapter. It's in there. It's in black and white because they learn from it early on, from their experience. It's a sure-proof plan either to weed somebody out or get them to come in. Foolproof plan all the way. Tells you exactly how to do it in there. One of the most important things that we have going for us is identification. Is trying to find out if this person truly is an alcoholic. And can they identify with us as an alcoholic? And if they can, then they increase their chances of coming here and recovering from alcoholism. AA, outside of AA, society has always diagnosed or misdiagnosed this illness almost from the get-go. And before 1930 and the evolution of Alcoholics Anonymous, society looked at alcoholism kind of in three ideas. And I'm not sure that some of them still are not present today. One of the ideas is that you and I were outright mental defectives. You know, we had some psychological shortcomings, and then if we weren't locked up, guarded, or got some help through a different method, then you and I didn't stand a chance. So the psychological folks saw us as outright mental defectives with some psychological problems. There's a lot of people in AA that can fit that description. There's no question. From time to time, I've doubted if I didn't fit that description. Our friends in church thought that we were sinners, and that if we could be redeemed through their process and saved, then we could overcome our alcoholism. They tried for many centuries at that and didn't make much of a dent in it. And our other folks thought that you and I ought to just shape up, throw out some self-will, quit, say I've had enough, I'm licked, that's all there is to it. And they thought we were weak-willed people. And this is kind of how society had looked at it prior to 1930 and those kind of ideas. And it had all come up short because none of it worked. An alcoholic couldn't stay sober off of those things in the long run. Or it seemed to be that they couldn't. So AA came along in this process, and we believe that it was God-given, and God-given for a reason, because God, in His mind's eye, I believe, meant for me to be with other alcoholics that have recovered from alcoholism and gave us a way in which to do it. And we had some previous folks try, and they failed at it because they got into some other endeavors. And AA learned one thing from the Oxford group that was real important. The Oxford group was predecessor to Alcoholics Anonymous, and we stole most of our material from steps 3 through 12 from the Oxford groups. There's a lot of good books to out on those. It's a good read to see some of our roots coming out of there. One of the things that the Oxford group wanted to have is they wanted to have a world-changing message. Is that if they could, and they really did actually, if you look at it, it looked like, and it almost seemed from time to time, it was a world-changing message. They were going to have an impact on the world as a whole, and I'm not sure that they didn't because AA still exists today. What AA saw as trial and error as time came on is that we weren't going to have a world-changing message. That would have been too big for our britches. We were going to have a life-changing message from one alcoholic to another. And this is where this thing's going to be transmitted. This is where it's going to work best if I'm just an alcoholic and Alcoholics Anonymous. Not only do the steps back that up, but also the traditions. And if you haven't taken a look in the traditions, we just did a whole 2 months on the 12 and 12 traditions. It blew me away. Just the amount of information in there on singleness of purpose and just what this whole thing's about and why it's guarded and protected by those traditions, you know. That we're not here into all the other problems of society. And I've got to remember that as I come in, as I learn to work with others, as I become a sponsor, that I've got to remember is I'm not everybody's everything. Is that I have a message to carry to an alcoholic who suffers from alcoholism. I don't have a message to carry to the drug addict. If they would like to, I certainly suggest they go to Narcotics Anonymous. I got a list of people in Richmond that seem to be pretty good in it, and I give them their numbers because they've given me permission, but I don't go in there. I don't go in other areas of emotional hang-ups or difficulties or anything like that or anything they're being diagnosed with. I'd get lost in that. I don't have an experience with that. I have an experience with alcoholism. And I do like to point out the folks that feel they're a little crippled by their emotions here is that it does say it in our chapter work, many of us suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders. Okay, that's not uncommon in Alcoholics Anonymous to have people that suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders. But the solution seems to be honesty. And they got to get honest enough with themselves that are they truly and really an alcoholic? And is Alcoholics Anonymous truly and really going to be their solution? You know, they've got to get down to that. I can't convince them. I can't make them do it. If they feel like they got other difficulties, then they're going to have other difficulties, and it's going to make it very difficult for a guy like me that believes in the one problem, one solution type of thing that really helped me to live a simple life. So I'd like to look a little bit about Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob and then bring it up to date on some ideas that I have and I've learned over a period of time. But one of the places that I start out when I'm helping people go through the steps is one of my favorites, is Forward to the Second Edition. And in the Forward to the Second Edition, it's going to lay down some things that I think are very, very, very important to this process. And it says on Roman numeral XVI, prior to the journey to Akron, the broker had worked hard with many alcoholics. Now, the broker is Bill Wilson. He was a stock speculator in New York, in Manhattan. If you just saw the movie, it was great. He couldn't stay sober. I didn't know he was that bad a drunk. Gosh. On the theory that only an alcoholic could help an alcoholic. And I think that's very, very important. What I have and what you have if you have alcoholism is I'm already being set up to help another person to recover once I've taken the steps. But he had succeeded only keeping sober himself. Well, what Bill had, he had a tremendous, what they called is a white light or a hot flash in Towns Hospital in December of 1934. This room lit up after he'd had a lot of problems. He'd taken some steps with his schoolmate friend, Abby. Asked God for help that night, and voila. And he talks about a sudden and profound experience. And any hot flash or white light experience is a sudden and profound experience. In fact, it was so magnificent, to him that when he got out of town's hospital and at the end of his stay, after he had this white light experience, his mind centered on how can he carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. His mind did not center on how can I help my emotional handicaps, how can I get my finances straight, because he lost it all in the market crash in 29. How can I get my marriage straight? That was going down the tubes. There was a lot of things that Bill could have taken care of, could have been on the priority list other than, but his priority, chief priority, came out of town's hospital to help another alcoholic stay sober. That's why we're here today. If he'd had another priority, we'd have been in trouble. So he's running around the block and down in Manhattan to all the places he had been drinking, and he's carrying the message to the hot flash to the drunk. Now, the drunk's drunk, and he's talking about the room lighting up. He's talking about this tremendous emotional upheaval he had and this relationship that he has with God, and the drunk didn't take to it. Feeling sorry for himself, Bill went to two people that saved Alcoholics Anonymous' life again. He went to his wife, Lois, and he said that this doesn't seem to be working. And she said, Bill, of course it does, because you've never been sober this long. Despite anybody sobering up under his message of the hot flash, Bill learned that he stayed sober himself, which was very, very critical to Alcoholics Anonymous. The other thing, he went to his buddy Silkworth in town's hospital, who was the doctor who gave him the first step, the idea of being powerless over alcohol, and the idea that took away society's diagnoses and gave it our own diagnosis. We got all let off the hook that this would be a spiritual disease. Okay, we call it dis-ease with self. Okay, and he talked about the obsession of the mind and the physical allergy of the body, two things society had left out of their diagnosis. They had been into everything else, but they didn't quite understand this. Well, Silkworth had handed this to Bill Wilson. Bill Wilson bought it hook, line, and sinker. So he went to Silkworth, and Silkworth said, lay off the spiritual stuff. Okay, they don't need to hear about the hot flash. They don't know what to do with it. Lean on your experience with drinking and the hopelessness that you ended up because of that. Talk about the obsession and the physical allergy. Talk about what I talked about with you. Hook them on that idea, Bill. Well, when Bill got out to Akron after this business failure, says the broker had gone to Akron on a business venture which had collapsed, leaving him greatly in fear that he might start drinking again. He suddenly realized that in order to save himself, he must carry the message to another alcoholic. The alcoholic turned out to be the Akron physician, who we know is Dr. Bob. Now, what's really important after this is this next paragraph that is just a pile. It's a gem. It's a gold mine. Okay? It lays down some ideas that are fundamental to working with others. It says, the physician had repeatedly tried spiritual means to resolve his alcoholic dilemma, but had failed. Now, that sounds contrary to Alcoholics Anonymous, right? Hey, get on the spiritual path. Everything's spiritual here. La, la, la. Fill yourself up with God. Get a relationship with God. You'll be okay. That's not what it says. That's what you interpreted it said. It doesn't say that. See, Dr. Bob had been in the Oxford group for 2.5 years, which to me, they tried to return to first century Christianity in a very pure form. It was very, very pure. It was very intoxicating. These guys pulled out of stuff that nobody had ever pulled out there and put it in a set that, oh my God, you could actually see what was in there. They did a great job on it. They had some failings and some misgivings, but they did a great job on it. Dr. Bob had tried it, but the one thing that he didn't have was a group of alcoholics around him. This thing is based on one alcoholic talking to another. Our recovery comes not just out of spirituality, because we sit in a fellowship of like-minded people with like-minded problems with a like-minded solution. That's what we need. So you can de-unique me, de-intellectualize me, and normalize me into an alcoholic. You know, so I don't think I'm something else. I know what I am today. I am an alcoholic, true blue. Okay. But when the broker gave him Dr. Silkworth's description of alcoholism, his hopelessness, the physician began to pursue the spiritual remedy for his malady with a willingness he had never before been able to muster. That's what happens when one alcoholic talks to another, one that has a solution and the understanding of a problem that one does not. Okay. Bob had an understanding somewhat of the solution. It wasn't in alcoholic terms, but he had no idea of the problem. And all of a sudden, here comes this guy, a speculator from New York. He's not a medical doctor. He doesn't have the degrees Dr. Bob has. Dr. Bob doesn't want to talk to him anyhow. And he talks to him, and instead of 5 minutes that he said he'd give him, it's about a six-hour conversation and identification of alcoholism, blew his doors off. He sobered, never to drink again, up to the moment of his death in 1950. Well, the big book would not be the big book if it didn't have some fibs in it. All right, we find that Bill, along the way, fibbed in the book in alcoholic fashion. It's got to have a fib or two in here, it wouldn't be alcoholic, all right? Alcoholics fib from time to time. We know Dr. Bob got drunk again. But after that, he sobered up. This seemed to prove that one alcoholic could affect another alcoholic as no non-alcoholic could. Now, that is a very important statement. That means that you and I don't have to be degreed. We don't have to have a degree in psychology. We don't have to have a degree in arithmetic. We don't have to have a degree that you and I, because of our alcoholism and understanding of it, can affect another alcoholic like nobody else can, as long as they want to be an alcoholic and not different here. I often say that there's one problem here that will kill an alcoholic quicker than anything. We got a name on it. It's called unique. And if I'm dealing with someone that's too unique for this, it's going to be a hard job on my part and a hard job on their part. Maybe we just stay friends, have a cup of coffee, and part our ways, you know, because I'm not going to make much headway there. If they feel too different inside to be able to embrace this the way it's supposed to embrace, there's a whole book here that writes about what's wrong with me and what the solution is. And I'm also a believer that all of the rest of my life and up to this point, I do not have to figure out everything that's wrong with me. Okay, that's a losing endeavor. All right. Could you imagine the hours spent trying to figure out this handicap and where did this come from? Oh my God, I'd rather be out there mountain biking in the mountains enjoying life. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff I don't have to totally figure out inside of myself. Okay, if I do the solution that AA asked me to do, if I do some other things here and I pitch in, learn how to give, I tell you what, my life continually gets better despite me. I am sold on giving as a solution here. I haven't seen much of it. You can inventory yourself 20 times a day, 500 times a year, and I don't think you're going to get as much as if you learn how to help another person go through the steps, help another person get into the fellowship, help them out. Maybe 3, 4, 5, or 6 of them so you can get your mind off yourself. You know, because self-obsession is quite strong on an alcoholic. You have to have some substitute, and it seems working with others is a very nice substitute for self-obsession. It also indicated that strenuous work, one alcoholic with another, was vital to permanent recovery. Well, I like what the book uses here. It says permanent recovery, not one day at a time. Now, am I a believer one day at a time? Yes. Are you possibly too? But Dr. Bob also talked a lot about a permanent recovery. That if you and I will stay locked and loaded in this method of the 12 steps and helping out another alcoholic to recover, then we can bring about permanent recovery in our life. Okay? And I do believe that. Okay? I also believe this, you know, that if I stop doing these things and I walk away from Alcoholics Anonymous, I won't guarantee you tonight that I'll get drunk, but I will tell you I guarantee my increase my chances of being drunk. Okay? I don't intend on doing it. At all. Okay. My life's too good, you know, despite me. It just continually gets better all the time. That doesn't mean you always feel better. It means life gets better. See, for an alcoholic who's self-centered, they're always in tune to their feelings and trying to feel better. So you got to tell them that life gets better sometimes despite how you feel. Just take a look around, take a peek sometimes. Oh my God, this does look pretty good, but I don't feel good today. So what? Go to the meet and try to help out somebody tonight. You might feel a little bit better. Forward to the second edition lays down a criteria of who you're looking to work with. It took me years to see this by reading over and over and over of who I'm going to look for if I want them to be successful in Alcoholics Anonymous. And when I say successful, being able to get physical, sober, and recover from this illness through the 12 steps. That's success here. is going to lay down four central ideas. Okay. And the first idea is they need to be an alcoholic. We just read that. Okay. The second idea is going to come out in the next paragraph. It says, hence the two men set work almost frantically upon alcoholics arriving at the ward of the Akron City Hospital. Their very first case, a desperate one. This is the second criteria that you're looking for when you're working with somebody. How desperate are they? Hey, if they're feeling good and they're doing great and they gave you a 9/11 call and everything's going pretty good, they're not going to seize this boat, all right? You want them to be down and out and hurting. The wife just left, the kids just left, going to lose the mortgage, sure I'm going to be fired tomorrow morning. This is the guy that I want to hit, okay, with this identification of the obsession and physical allergy. I don't want them feeling too good the day I visit them. They might be feeling good enough, they talk them out of it and me out of it, all right? I want them to be so down and so depressed that maybe a shimmer of hope comes out of it. That yes, too, maybe they're alcoholic and AA will work. So I'm looking for a desperate one, all right? They just got out of treatment, they ain't desperate, they got propped up, I might wait a month or two. The third idea comes out in the famous 75% quoted here. It came out in two places in our history, I believe, in one in the Jack Alexandria article in 1941. It was first published, and then in 1950, the start of the second edition, it came out again. That 75% recovered here after some relapses. But the key word here is really tried. So if I'm looking for a person that's alcoholic, number two, desperate, number three, because of desperation, wants to really try, I'm ready, I'm moving now, okay? And this is what I'm looking for, I'm fishing for when I'm talking to you, all right? Anything short of that, I don't know if it'll work. But I'm looking for these three things already. Then the fourth one is at the end of the chapter, when it talks about, yet it is our great hope that all who have not yet found an answer may begin to find one in the pages of this book and will presently join us on the high road to a new freedom. Key word again is a person that has not yet found an answer. Okay. If they still have an answer other than Alcoholics Anonymous and they believe that's the answer, it'll block them from this spiritual awakening. Because you can't wear two hats when you only have one head. Okay. I don't sponsor people in treatment. Not because I look down on treatment or what they're doing. They're being sponsored by a counselor in there. Okay. There's no way it's going to work. If I start bringing into traditions and singleness of purpose and in a treatment center environment, they're talking about addicts and addictions and many diagnoses. I know because I work partly around the field anyhow. And they got a lot of stuff going on in there, and all of a sudden they say, hey, I'll sponsor you while you're in treatment, and I've got to listen to that every night? I don't think so. Now, if you'd like to, please, there's no AA police here, and there's no experts. I don't sponsor people in treatment, and I don't go to meetings in treatment centers because it goes different. It goes different than our singleness of purpose. What I do is, hey, wait, when you get out of treatment, love to meet you. Hey, I'll be over this meeting. Why don't we talk after that? So certainly when they finish their 30 days or 7 days or whatever, I'll be glad to start to look at it. But other than that, it's just going to be in conflict because their head's getting filled full of a lot of things that aren't Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm not there to adjust them. Because all they'll do is go back to the counselor and say, hey, this guy said this, and he'll say, hey, I read this in this book, he's wrong. I'm not going to run AA up against anybody. And if they want to do that, that's fine with me. I got no problem. If everybody in AA wants to sponsor people in treatment, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. I'm just letting you know what I'll do and I don't do. I wait for them to finish that. I'm not a big guy on meetings and treatment centers because addicts and everything else are sharing in those meetings. And if you look at our tradition, it's splitting it. You can't keep the traditions of AA in a meeting in a treatment center. What I think, and of course AA really wants my opinion, that the treatment centers down the road start a speaker meeting that they can all come to, you know, and then they come into your house. I also think it's rude to go in their house and preach Alcoholics Anonymous at one problem, one solution, when that's what they're not doing in there, you know. And treatment can work for people because it helps them to get physically sober. All the rest, I believe, if you left it out of the door, you'd probably be better served when you came into Alcoholics Anonymous. But they do have a function. And I also know statistically, I've read them, that 35%, at least at one time, were sent here by treatment. And a lot of people stayed. You know, so it certainly served its purpose. I'm not there just to baseball bat against it. I've seen people that I know that if it wasn't for a treatment center, they probably would have died in an AA meeting. They needed to dry out in there. Okay? But all the other stuff is a head full of mush. And, you know, when you come here, we got to kind of pull that one out and that one out. And no, that's not AA. And no, that's not. That's fine. That's somebody's opinion. This is AA. And if you want to stay here, this is what's going to increase your chances. Okay. I guess we're off to a good start. Where's the tar and feather? That guy's preposterous, I say. Where'd he come from? I live outside of Charlottesville. Now, in the first paragraph with working with others, this is the seventh chapter. Like I said, probably the most violated and most unread chapter we have. It talks exactly here in the first paragraph. It's and the first two paragraphs are absolutely wonderful, and they're very, very simple. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It doesn't say intensive work on myself. Okay? Can you imagine that? How intense I could get working on me? Wouldn't even mount to a hill of beans. I just have a head full of mush, you know? Entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character, not me. Okay? So what I'm going to try to do is come in here, take the steps, get a sponsor, and learn to work with others, or learn how to serve Alcoholics Anonymous. It works when other activities fail. Okay? So when the prayer and the meditation, which is very important here, it's part of the steps, 100 meetings a day, 10 calls to my sponsor a day, when these things seem not to be working, help out another alcoholic. Okay? In fact, any problem you have in your life, I don't care what it is, financial, sexual, whatever it is, the more you pour yourself into helping out others here and find an opportunity to give into Alcoholics Anonymous, the better that problem will get in the long run. Alcoholics like quick fixes and wonder why there's not an overnight FedEx Express on the problem. Well, it just doesn't get solved that way. Sometimes I tell people, well, sounds like you have a problem there. It might take 10 years. 10 years! I just try to slow them down a little bit. They're in a hurry. They think if they get a prayer and meditation room, it'll be gone. I said, you'll be feeding yourself obsession. This is the 12th suggestion. Carry the message to other alcoholics, not addicts. Okay, not all this other stuff that's going on. Okay, AA has certainly helped out the world. There's over 500 anonymous fellowships. You can take it. We don't have the copyright. You can do your own book. You can start your own fellowship. You can take our traditions. Please. And every fellowship, as far as I know, was all started by an AA member. Okay, so we certainly have also helped out there. But when I'm coming to you and you say you're an addict, I say, no, well, wait a second. You've been in treatment. Are you an alcoholic? Let's talk about this. Okay, or you've been in your therapist's office. Okay, or you've been with a substance abuse counselor. I'm not one. I'm an alcoholic. Let's talk about what you are. Okay. Well, I did a lot of drugs. I said, me too. Narcotics were my favorite. Ecstasy was my favorite. LSD was my favorite. Methamphetamine was my favorite. Marijuana was my favorite. They were all my favorites in combinations. In fact, I'm an old deadhead. If you don't think the Grateful Dead parking lot wasn't full of drugs and made everybody there a full-fledged member of Narcotics Anonymous in name only, I will tell you that you don't know what you're talking about. Because I've done enough drugs to make me a full-fledged member of Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm not. I'm an alcoholic because I have a physical allergy, mental obsession. That doesn't mean I can do drugs. I don't do them. Okay. I'm not an addict. That would split me. I'm an alcoholic who did a lot of drugs alcoholically. Okay. And I found a way to fit into AA off of that mindset. You know, if I said, I'm an alcoholic and addict, what I'm saying is I'm separate from you, the singleness of purpose. I might have something more than you have. And I've got to be careful with that more of. Because that might be enough to take me out of here and say I'm different. I'm a guy also believes, and I know it's not too popular in AA, when I sponsor guys, I try to let them know from the get-go, out of the gate, that this is one problem, one solution, one fellowship, one sponsor, and one program. You know, alcoholics like multiple choice. I just gave him a bad day, you know. What is this guy talking about? You mean I can't go to NA, Overeaters Anonymous, Al-Anon, and everything? I got all these problems. Be my guest, but I won't be sponsoring you. You know, please, you will find someone in AA that will. I'd find it quite confusing, really. I really wouldn't know. It's the same steps. Just the identification of the problem changes. I would assume they'd work on anything. And if I'm an alcoholic, they certainly have. I lost 55 pounds here. I can tell you all the problems. The nicotine, all of it. The emotions, I have it all. You know, and by taking the steps and over a period of time and going to meetings and doing stuff and over and over and over and over, I was able to get, you know, with God's help, being able to overcome a lot of those difficulties. Never went anything else, never thought of going anywhere else. I thought AA was always enough for me. It's been a lifesaver. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they're very, very ill. When I'm working with someone brand new, or maybe they've been here for a long time, but they're not doing too hot, I know they're sick. And I found that a lot of their sickness revolves around dishonesty. Okay. And so one of the first kind of things that I want to do as I get to know them, I want them to be able to come clean with me. All right. What's going on? The double life definitely has some ringers to it. And so one of the ways here, and we say it in AA, we get sick from our secrets. That's the truth. Okay. We also get better when we share them. And so what I want to do is I want to set up with people in a non-judgmental way that I'm here to share, okay? But if you've done if you killed somebody, or if you've done something that would send you to penitentiary for a long time, I don't think I'm the person that you need to tell me right out the bat, right out the gate. Go to a lawyer, okay? And talk to the lawyer about the legal stuff. Okay? The lawyer says, hey, statute of limitations, all that stuff, hey, it's you're free and clear, no problem. Come tell me. If you think you got 20 years looking at the penitentiary, there's no reason to tell me that. Okay? No reason to tell me that. I let people know that. Let your lawyer know. Okay? He's the one that's going to help you. I don't have a law degree. Other secrets, sexual and stuff like that, are non-incriminating. Please tell me. Get it off your shoulders. Okay? You're not going to be the first, nor are you going to be the last. Okay? Those things seem to be dug in the personality. They cause a lot of guilt, a lot of shame. Let's get that out. Let's see if we can start to deal with that. Stealing, lying, all those kind of things. Let's get that stuff out on the table. Let's start. And I'm taking them through the steps on this, but we want to really get in focus about this double life. Okay? Because this double life is one of these activators of this drinking or this unhappiness. I've sponsored guys 13 years sober, so they've never been happy in Alcoholics Anonymous. Well, they told me right off the bat that they weren't in AA. They're around Alcoholics Anonymous, and there's something that's preventing them from getting in here. It's called their thinker. Okay. And I tell them, I'm not the, I don't have the lightning bolt to your sobriety. If you do what's in the book and some other things we do here, maybe you'll get some days of happiness. You know, the rest of us did. I've worked with long-term people 20-some years and never taken the steps. You know, we get to take the steps and have a new thing. I've worked with guys 20 years sober that had to stop going to meetings, thought they could live off the steps. I said, no way, Jose. We need meetings. We need each other a lot more than we think we do. You know, I was a loner most of my life. I go to a lot of meetings today, not because I'm a good-willed person or anything like that. I just found that probably about after 14 and a half years of sobriety, three meetings a week were not enough for a guy like me. I feel better in my life in every aspect the more meetings I go to. Now, I'm not a guy that needs three meetings a day either. Though if you're brand new and you don't have a job, please do. That's a lot better than drinking, okay? Me, I benefit on a meeting every day if I can make it. Most time I make five or six meetings a week. Sometimes I get seven. I benefit in all areas of my life because of that. Work, family, everywhere. And it doesn't take that much time. In fact, I started looking at meetings after a while as the primary purpose. Stay sober and help another alcoholic achieve sobriety. When I'm talking about meetings, I'm not just talking about going and getting something. You know, let me get it off my chest tonight type of thing. Or I hope they say the right thing that fits my problem. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about sometimes looking at a meeting like it's a psychiatric center, it's a hospital, it's something like that, and maybe there's some sick people in there, and I'll go in and I'll carry a message of hope today, and if it's a good enough message that doesn't alienate them, maybe I won't walk out the door alone tonight, I'll walk out the door with a couple people talking to me. When I started seeing the meetings as a place to give rather than receive, it changed everything in my life. As long as I thought the meetings were a place for me to come to receive, I was barking up the wrong tree after a while. Being brand new, yeah, that's probably pretty ordinary, but after you've been here a couple years, a couple more years, and a couple more years, you're still going to meetings to get something, you're not going to get that much after a while. What you're going to get is a head full of mush. That speaker, I've heard him, he's boring. Oh, they're going to say the same thing tonight. And I can't stand that one guy who talks for 10 minutes. All he does is talk about the big book and steps. He ought to get a life. And see, the judgmental machine turns on because I'm a taker, I'm not a giver. Now, when I go to that meeting with one purpose in mind and show up a little bit early, maybe I can help set up the meeting. Maybe I don't have a formal job in that meeting, but I can help out. Maybe I can stay a little bit afterwards. I can help put a chair up. I can do something to give to the meeting. Maybe I can participate in the meeting if I've taken the steps, if I've had a spiritual awakening, read all of these steps. I believe any meeting you sit in, if you can, you ought to participate to give the message of hope to the person that's sitting in there that's hopeless. I really do. I believe that's part of long-term sobriety, is that you should sit in that meeting to participate. You don't have to talk for 10 or 15 minutes, but you carry a message of hope. And all of a sudden, it turns that whole thing of meetings in a whole different perception. And now I see a meeting as an opportunity to give tonight rather than an inconvenience to my busy life. Okay? Hey, you going to meetings anymore? No, I got a great life. Hey, where'd that come from? Me. Okay. I've always had the me problem. I got to remember that everything in my life that's good and everything in my life anyhow is because of Alcoholics Anonymous. There's nothing else I can chalk it up to. Especially not me. I've done a lousy job. Life will take on a new meaning. And there it is. See? And the meetings will take on a new meaning once you learn to come and give. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish. Again, it's not talking about the intensity of my problems and working on myself. Sometimes in AA, I feel like we've been almost overrun with a psychological process. I got to take a look at me. I got to forgive me. I got to love me. I got to accept me. And none of that's in the big book. None of it. The big book's about having a spiritual awakening and then coming on over and trying to help another person have a spiritual awakening. It's not about me. Okay? And people that are kind of lost in the world and they have emotional difficulties, that stuff seems soothing to them. Oh, let me learn to love myself. You know, we'll love you till you learn to love yourself. And I feel so bad about myself. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I need. Love. And if I can only love myself, if I can only forgive myself, if I can only accept myself. And that's all psychological approach, and that's not Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, if you look at the promises, and the promises we all know that are famous are the 9-step promises, but this is loaded with promises, none of that stuff's in there. It's better. If you look at the promises of the steps, it's better than that stuff. And what we should do in meetings is say, hey, how new are you? Come on over. Let's go work with this person today. Hey, have you helped out today? Did you show up and get a coffee commitment yet? Hey, are you giving back to Alcoholics Anonymous? How many meetings are you going to? Got any newcomers in your car tonight? That's what we should be saying instead of learning to love yourself. You go home and think, man, that sounds good. Maybe I'll get Leo Bukowski on love and read it tonight. Oh, we need you to go help the drunk that's dying, you know? And by doing that, all of a sudden, taking the steps, inside starts to feel good and you don't gravitate towards that stuff that seems tempting anymore. Because these promises that come along with the steps are so much better than that stuff, okay? And you know, a newfound freedom and a new happiness. Wow, if I got a newfound freedom, new happiness, why would I be looking for self-love? Why I'm looking for self-love is I hadn't taken the steps yet in their entirety. Hey, I need to forgive myself. No, I need to forgive other people and never let them off the hook. You know, if I can forgive you and let you off the hook, you know, maybe I stand a better chance on inside of me. See, AA is not a psychological process. And it's not a religious process. And religion has helped us out. Where do you think we're meeting tonight? Where do you think all the groups I meet in are? You know? They've been great friends to Alcoholics Anonymous. We should never sit in an AA meeting and put down religion. Okay? At the same time, when people say, see to it that religious people are right, it doesn't say they're right about alcoholism. Okay? An alcoholic's right about alcoholism. They're right about what happens when you have a relationship with God. And that's what you can learn from them. Okay? And they got a lot to show you about that if you want it. Okay? But they don't know about alcoholism because possibly they don't have it. Okay? The person that knows about alcoholism is the person that has it. And that's where we find them is in AA. Okay? The best chance to find an alcoholic that recovered from alcoholism is in AA. Because AA is set up for you and I to recover from alcoholism. Simple. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends, this is an experience you must not miss. And you know how many of us miss it? All the time. Because you know what we're distracted by? Ourselves. We're missing an experience that's just ultimately the greatest. Okay? And we're so distracted by ourselves that we can't see this experience and the magnitude and the greatness to it, you know. To watch people come in, take the steps, recover, watch them help somebody else. Watch a group grow up, too. In Buckingham, we watched a group grow up. You know, years ago I started, my wife and I were the only ones in it. Sometimes on Tuesday night now, if we're on a good night, we might have 45 people in Buckingham. That's pretty good, you know. And you get to see that because you stayed there long enough to be given, 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 given. And then boom, you know, people recover. And when you come to that group, everybody's talking about steps. Everybody's talking about sponsorship. Everybody's talking about how to recover. There's not any loose cannons in there. Okay? Or they have a different way to this. Or they've gotten away from AA and they're starting to feel emotional complications and they think, I'm feeling so bad, AA is not enough. No, that's when you crank up the volume because AA is designed for you to feel bad. In fact, in order to grow spiritually sometimes, you got to feel really, really bad in sobriety. Okay, I mean awful. Possibly worse than you ever felt drinking for some time. Watch what happens inside of you. If you stick with the process and you get through it, you go, oh my God, Alcoholics Anonymous really does work. If I start taking a side trip and I'm going through one of those times of emotional uphill, and when I look back, how can I credit AA? You know what I say? Same thing I heard in a meeting down in Philadelphia last week. AA only helps me with my drinking problems. It's not enough for the others. Where'd that come from? It's not in our literature. You know, AA set up for all of my problems, you know. Bar none. And I've had most of them. Probably some more are coming as we speak. You know? I go to more meetings, try to help out more people, talk to my sponsor, ask God for help. Voila! You know? I don't have a timetable on anymore. I'm in the problem now. I'm going to come out when I'm going to come out. Could be a year from now. Could be tomorrow night. Could be next week. I don't know. Okay? I stayed in one time 3.5 years in a problem. 3.5 years changed my life better than anything ever changed my life. Okay? I am a big, big believer that the more we become literature-based in our community, and I'm not talking about intellectually regurgitating things in meetings, but literature-based in the traditions and the steps and understand the concepts and the history of Alcoholics Anonymous. And today the internet makes that history world just right at our fingertips. I mean, it's got the West Baltimore group on there, Barefoot Bill's website, just loaded out there. And then they have links all over, silkworth.net. You can, and to see how AA evolved and to understand the traditions and all those things just enhances your sobriety. So you're not just coming in like I came in and said, hey, how'd AA start? They said, well, God went, I said, okay. And a resentment in a coffee pot started the next meeting. And I really did believe that, you know. And I'm not saying some meetings didn't change, start because of that. They probably did. But AA is so much more than that. And we're rich in history. We are rich in our history. You know, and the more we embrace that and really look at our books, and like I said, not in a scientific way, but in a practical way, and really get to know our literature and our steps, our message becomes more potent to the newcomer. Okay? And the thing that we're trying to do with this message, we're carrying a message, but after years here, I put something on that message, and I called it effective message. You know, am I carrying it clear enough that you can understand that by taking these steps, you can have a spiritual awakening? Okay. And there's actually a set of directions that helps you do that. They're not just thought up during a meeting and, hey, the guest speaker came in with a new idea, I think I'll take it home tonight, or, you know, word of mouth during the meeting. That we actually have a way to recover from alcoholism. It's outlined in this book, Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay. Time's going quick. Almost out. I believe that a sponsor is so much better at sponsoring guys when you have a group to take the guys to. Or girls. Just sponsoring folks without a group has been... I've certainly done it, and I sponsor people all around the United States on the phone. It certainly works. But there's a quality there that happens when they can come to a group like this, and a lot of people in the room are sponsored and sponsored and sponsored. There's generations of sponsorship sitting in there. When they have a problem, they can go to other people in that sponsorship. They don't have to rely on you. And because as busy as my life is, I don't want guys totally relied on me. Okay, I certainly want them to accept the direction. I want them to try to follow the things that I'm doing here in Alcoholics Anonymous. But I also want them to get friends with each other. You know, I'm not always going to be available. Okay, and those friendships help them as much as my sponsorship. And having that group and developing that group with that in mind, and that came from my second sponsor. He said, get the guys in the area that you sponsor to come to your home group so you all get to know each other. And that's what I've always done. I said, hey, I want you, you know, if you're within 100 miles, I want you to come to the home group. Okay, I want you to get to know the guys. I want you to get to know that there's relationships here. And that's really benefited us tremendously. Instead of kind of being nomads, hey, go to any group you want to. You know, here over here, they were frying chicken, and everybody was saying sober fishing. And over here, they all joined the treatment center because AA wasn't enough. And over here, they had this. And so you're going to all these different things, and you're wondering, if you're new, what is the message of Alcoholics Anonymous? You know, do we really have one here? Yes, we do. We have a very clear and precise message. But a lot of times you go to these groups, and I go to groups all over the East Coast, and whenever I'm out of town, I assure you I have my laptop, I know where the meeting is that night. I love going to out-of-town meetings. Never know what I'm going to get, but I like going there. You know, I went to one that she was searching for her inner child with her therapist. I thought we were long gone out of that, but I found out that's still here. You know, and I had to go to that meeting to know that it's still here, or I'd have missed it, you know. And they went around, they were mostly into group therapy and psychological approach to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I just shared, you know, what my experience is, and they went around and shared that wasn't their experience. And I was glad that there was a meeting there, tell you the truth. I'm always happy that there's a meeting there. You know, the meetings don't have to fit my bill. I'm not there to straighten anybody out. I'm just there to carry a message of hope. If I get in the business of straightening people out, I won't feel like going to meetings anymore. Because none of them will be behaving the way I think they should. The timeline of helping others. If you're brand new, you can help them. Get them in the car and take them to the meeting. Okay? You can't transmit something you haven't got yet because you hadn't taken the steps, but you can take them to the meeting. You can tell them how you stayed sober for 2 days going to meetings. They might listen to you more than me. I had a guy in our local area for years. He said, I'm not there to help people yet because I don't have the experience. I thought, oh my God. If Dr. Bob and Bill Wilson had heard that, we wouldn't have been here today. And after, you know, several years, over 10 years of being here, he quit. And he quit Alcoholics Anonymous because he never found an avenue to give to it. He was going to a meeting to get something. And eventually that'll wear itself out. And he's my friend, and I love him to death, and he loves me to death, but we don't have AA in common. You know, we don't talk about AA. We talk about hunting, fishing, growing tomatoes, everything else. Have a good friendship. Okay? But it's not on Alcoholics Anonymous. Nothing in common there. He quit. And I told him he couldn't quit something he wasn't in. He said, huh? I think at my length of sobriety, not having a sponsor is... it can put you in trouble. I've known a lot of guys over the years that I've gotten close to, 25, 30, 35 years, that didn't have sponsors anymore, and there's not one of them didn't get goofier than a bed bug here. Not one of them. Yes, they were still sober. Yes, they still sponsored people. But they... It was almost different planet stuff. For me, I think I want to keep a quality of sobriety. And a sponsor that's active in AA has been very important throughout my sobriety. My sponsor is now almost 80, so I've already got in my mind who's next. I got four people. Okay, because I'm not wasting any time. Because what happens with my length of sobriety, that if you start wasting time, you go a couple months, 3 months, 6 months, a year, you start talking yourself out of having a sponsor, because guess what? You've been sober a long time. I'm not going to get drunk. Why do I need a sponsor? I've learned everything I've needed to learn here. It's dangerous. Okay. I need a sponsor that's more active than I am. I have a sponsor just came from the International out of San Antonio and called and told me how good it was. He suggested where it was I. I said, no excuses, I just didn't feel like going. I like that sponsor, okay? Both of my sponsors, I've only had really two since I've been here, have both been highly active in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I've only done AA. You won't get any other answers from them, and I've needed that. You know, there's been time to time that I was hoping maybe there was another answer, maybe that this thing was going to fall short. But I'm glad that they stuck on the party line here, that Alcoholics Anonymous was enough. What are you doing to give back to it? There's a lot of folks in AA that believe that once we get sober, we learn to give to the world around us. I've got no conflict with that at all, but I don't believe that's where my sobriety comes from. I work with teenagers. I tell you, every aspect of my life is given to people outside Alcoholics Anonymous, but I believe the whole thing for me that happens is giving inside of AA. It makes all the rest of it work. I, for me personally, yes, it's good I do that, but I don't credit my sobriety on that. I credit my sobriety in here when I take people through the steps, when I show up to the meeting early, when I help make the coffee, when I do the things that can give back to AAs. See, one of the things that happens there is I got sober for my responsibilities, and they're learning to give out so much out here, and they're filling up their egos so much with how much they give, we don't see them at the meetings anymore. Okay? Because they've learned to really give out here. No, I got to remember, giving out there happened because I learned to give in here. Okay? And that everything that I am or ever will be is because of Alcoholics Anonymous, bar none. There isn't anything else. The more that I give in here, the more my life seems to enhance itself or grow or get better or perception change or whatever you want to say. Doesn't mean I don't have problems in my life. Doesn't mean that there aren't challenges. It doesn't mean that there's not a headache on a daily basis in the business that I'm in. I'm here to tell you there is. Okay? And what I found for me, that the more meetings that I have to the challenges in life, it calms down the inside. Meetings work for me like speed bumps. Okay? Going 100 miles, 0 to 60, got this problem, boom, 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 go to the meeting, and it doesn't even seem to be a problem anymore. Whatever the difficulty is, the more people are in my life today, I have more people in my life, alcoholic and none, than I've ever, ever had in my life. And let me tell you, people are disagreeable. All right? The more meetings that I go to, the better I do with other people. You know, there's a timeline between my emotions and... You know, because these emotions are a little bit edgy in an alcoholic sometimes, and they get a little, you know, and it seems to me when I go to that meet and I share and I participate, it just kind of calms that down inside of me, and I feel better when I leave an AA meeting. Somebody said the other day, I've been sober for a long time, I don't feel good after I go to an AA meeting. I said, you haven't learned how to give yet, you're still going there to take. Silence. Wasn't another word said. I'll wrap it up. We're just about out of time. I want to thank you for asking me to come up here and share this. My life depends on how much I give back to Alcoholics Anonymous, and there's no doubt inside of me about that at all. And I was very happy when Billy asked me to come up here, because this is what I do. And not speaking or anything, what I do is Alcoholics Anonymous wherever I'm called. And if you ask me to come and chair your meeting, I'll do it. If you ask me to come to your meeting, I'll do it. You know, I don't have to be up here and be the leader. You know, any meeting I sit into today, I'm grateful that I get to sit in it. Whether it looks like an AA meeting or not, doesn't matter, because I'm there for one reason. You give me that gift. And if I keep that gift and I nourish that gift, I'm going to stay sober and my life's going to get better. And that's the gift of the primary purpose. Stay sober and help another alcoholic achieve sobriety. That's the primary purpose here. And I'm really thankful you gave me that gift so I'm not confused.